Now, I know that church isn't a building, so, okay. Yeah, so what can the church learn from young people today? So I did a questionnaire, which I'm just going to go over a bit of the results in a minute. And then out of the results, four themes developed, which we can learn from, I think, as Christians. And then I propose at the end how to get young people to be, to go from awareness to devotion in just about anything. I know it's not that easy. It's life, but we'll see how we go. So I figured before we get going, I have four questions, kind of like a quiz. So if you want to work with those around you for about 2 or 3 minutes to try to answer as many of those as you can. Okay, you ready for the answers? For number one, who has a guess?
Disney World.
Yes, Disney World. Good job, Tom. Number two, the second one? 119. Ho Chi Minh was the last one. Did you get one? The third one. What percentage of your 2-year-old's vocabulary are brand names? 10%.
What?
10%. Shockingly. Now, it seems like a lot, doesn't it? 10% of 2-year-olds. Yeah, 1,000 of them. And for the fourth one, I mean, the...
Which 2-year-old was this? It's eight.
And for the fourth one, so I'm not talking about thumbprints, but for the first actually branded product, people do the thumbprints on bases and pots and grease in order to make theirs stand out and be distinguishable. Talking about actual products that you would even see today. The 5 branded products. One of them, I believe, is even from the UK. Believe it or not. Who wants to take this? Just a stab. No. Kellogg's, no. No. Nope. 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 Well, there is a soap. Actually, I don't know if these are even UK at all, so I don't know if you guys even know these ones, so maybe unfair. The latest, or the first one, was Levi Jeans, 1873. Then it was Maxwell House, yeah, they'll be here, yeah. Coffee. Budweiser, 1876. Coke. And the last one, Bass. Is that a beer?
Yeah.
Beer, yeah. Isn't that British? I thought it was. So I think, because in a minute or two, we're going to either look at or do the same questionnaire that the young people did. So it might be helpful for you to know what a brand is. I'm sure you guys all know, you know. So if you think about Tesco's, or you think about McDonald's, or you think about even Paris Hilton, I think she's a brand. It's a trademark goods of a particular make. The second definition... is one that I came up with, although it's all over the place. It's all the components that allow something or someone to be recognizable and distinct from its peers and competitors. Now, we're not going to talk about can you market the same way as organization if you're a church? That's a different topic, if you want. So we're not going to discuss, is it okay, is it not okay to use the same kind of methods that a church, that Coca-Cola uses, can we use? I did that for my first dissertation, so if you want to do that maybe in the August time, Dave, let me know, okay? But for this one, we're not going to discuss that. I thought this was a kind of a cool quote. You can brand anything, a product, a service, a religion, a nation, a holiday, a movie, a politician, an animal, a celebrity, or yourself if you're in the marketplace. If you ever doubted this, remind yourself that Frank Perdue branded a chicken, Perry, branded, sorry, I'm not past like you guys, so I don't know what that is, and Florida, branded sunshine. So basically, you can brand anything. And I think people have, and people do. When I was doing the talking to young people about their favorite brands and what, their favorite brands, some of them even said YouTubers. So I think you can even brand people on YouTube. I think they discuss different things. I guess if you have the time, right, they would go on YouTube all the time. These are the dire statistics, I guess, of the UK. These statistics are UK alone. And when it talks about baptism, I know they don't have to be a Christian to be baptized or to go to church or to be confirmed, but I think this is just a direct correlation to how a lot of churches don't have young people attend at all. And so I do think something needs to change. So I'll put forth some proposals in a bit about how perhaps to engage with young people. Whoops, we'll go back. So I'm going to hand out a survey, the same questionnaire and survey that the young people did. If you can look at it for maybe 5 minutes, I only have 20, so you're going to have to share. I don't know if I just give you some for that. Now, did you want pens, or did you just want to think about it without writing it down? It's up to you guys what you want to do. I do have pens if you want pens. Okay, you ready? So the sheet that you have, I did a pilot study first with that questionnaire, and I had, they didn't understand what a brand was, so I had to, that's why you see in the questionnaire, I had to define it up front, and I put the Nike symbol, and they also didn't like the word, the last question, faith, that I wanted instead to replace it with religion, which I would think, I thought faith was more open, but they wanted religion, so, and they found the questionnaire hard. They found, I mean, I wasn't in the room for most of the people who did it, so it was done in schools, at drop-in, at Elio's, at Weatherspoon's, at the park, and the ones that I didn't answer any questions for them, because it had to be the same, and there wasn't no name on any of them. But they found it hard, from what I gather, from what I heard them talking with their friends about, and and about what people who were in the room when they did it, they said they found it hard. Did you do any thoughts about it? Do you have want to make any comments or anything about that questionnaire? So next probably slides results. So feel free to ask any questions or interject. You know, if you feel you want to. So 287 young people took part in the questionnaire, and that is the results of those that took part. I mean, there was a high proportion in Tiverton, let's just say Tiverton, because Georgina, my wife...
I can't read the print.
Oh, that's fine. So,
participants, I can say. But...
So there was a bit more females than males who took part in the questionnaire in all of the ages. A couple of them were equal. There was the 21% who took part in the questionnaire were for the ages 12, 13, and 14. There wasn't that many who took it who were 11. And I think it's because my wife took it to the school in Tiverton, and that's why the majority of them are from Tiverton, so 77%. And so they might have changed ages from 11 to 12, maybe. And there isn't that many aged 17 through 25. There are a few 17 through 25-year-olds. And so after I got all the results, this is what my table at home looked like for quite some time. As I try to analyze all of the results. And yet when you're, so I had 100, I was happy, put them all out there. And then when I got more, I was happy, but then I had to redo all that. So my table at home about 2 months looked like that. We'll keep it here for a minute. There were 193 different brands, and 168 of them had five or less. And I honestly thought that there'd be quite a lot of brands, like 20 people would go to and flock to out of that many. But there was hardly any. What do you think was the top brand? Apple was in the top three in all the categories. Nike was in the top five, but I had to kind of, I couldn't use those results because the example was Nike. And so it might have been a bit tainted. But those were the only two that were on all of them. 11-year-olds like Primark. Didn't know that, but 11-year-old, that was number. So now I'm going to go through almost in order of what's on your questionnaires, the results. So the one about why young people value their chosen brand, a lot of them didn't know. Over half was for the other reasons, which was blank, no reason, and I have no favorites. And that surprised me, if I'm honest, because I thought they would know why they value it. And the tangible reasons down here, so they would put down, for example, they value it because it's Apple or it's because it's an iPad. Quality was surprisingly quite high, but 49% of the people valued it because of the quality of what it is. Steve Jobs, in a quote before he died, said that he didn't mind that products cost a lot more money than everyone else's because people of all ages will pay for quality. You can't fool people. So he didn't. If Apple was the top brand, one of the top three in every category, perhaps he's right. What do you think is the strongest influencers in young people's lives? What do you think they wrote down for that? What influences them or who? Surprisingly, family. Family was just above themselves. Who influenced them? And I'm not getting into that, okay? And 66% of the influencers who are in the top five categories, which are the left blank, family, friends, me, and the product itself. And I'm not sure if young people know what influences them. Because I think to leave it blank, sorry, it's a bit if you can't see it all, I just don't know if they are aware. Because if you look at celebrities, that's low. That is 2%. 2%, yeah, 2% value celebrity or think it's celebrities when they spend all that money. Super Bowl was this past weekend, U.S. football, and they spend millions on a half-minute advert. Surely that must be doing something, or they'd stop doing it. But if young people, I mean, then when they did this questionnaire, they weren't timed. They could spend as long or little as they wanted to, you know, and they were honest because there wasn't any, like, adults over them seeing their answers. And I'm just surprised that family came out. No, I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just surprised.
I'm surprised there's no mention of television.
Yeah. Yeah,
Oh, I see. Sorry.
There was one. Is there one? Religion? No, there was no religion. Price is low, and I assume the older you get, price is more important, right? And I thought this is the next one I'd show up, the faith of the young people. Because this will show where the other answers are based on their mind and if they have the faith or not. The surprising thing about this is two or three people, when asked this question about if they're religious, that I'm not what I want to be. And three, even from the same peer group, there were different ages. Ages said that. Why Brits? Most were. There was a few Portuguese. And I have no idea in Tiverton what I assume it's mainly white. Britain, everybody. Words and emotions about their chosen brand. So again, the reasons the brand, the product would be Apple and iPad, for example. Quality is still quite high. 36 people said that quality when it comes to words and emotions about their brands. I think the thing about this is that when you compare this to the rest of the spirituality, God, and the church, it is a bit different when it comes to those ones. Delicious. That's a nice word, isn't it? Delicious to describe a brand. This is the one on spirituality. I think that is a hard word to define ourselves, I think, spirituality. And I think as youth workers, I think the mantra is to help in their social, personal, and spiritual development. And that is why spirituality and not Christian, if that's coming to your mind. They would say this, I would say. Is 10 and 12, you have two. Answers to this question. What comes to mind when you think about spirituality? Anything? Again, I might not have used that word. I might just because have just used God and the church and brand. But I guess what I was trying to do about so words and emotions about the brand, spirituality, God, and the church, I thought they'd be more negative as you went down. So they're in that order on purpose, because I would assume most of them wouldn't be Christian or of the faith. So, what do you think they got? What do you think was positive, negative, neutral? What do you think was
negative?
There was not one negative. I guess you have fake, which is 9. No, negative. But I was expecting, because young people who sometimes come and go and like with, to, for there to be vulgarity or something. Yeah. But there was none. There was absolutely none. Which surprises me. I mean, the majority were. Nothing comes to mind. I don't know. I was trying to think what I would say if I wasn't a Christian and I was evil. There was one swear word in this bit, but it was only one, so I didn't include it.
One what?
Cuss word. Yeah. But these ones seem low, don't they? Like there isn't. There's one nine. The rest are what? A couple sixes. The rest are fives. But to me, it seems lifeless. These words, a bit. If you compare some of these words to William Brown, you fun, happy. I don't know about a delicious, if that would come in effect with the church. Readability. So from all of this, I came up with four. Actually, do you have any comments or questions about any of this so far? No? No, because what I did was, under these columns, I picked the top three for each category. And if there was a tie, like the first one, I put then a fourth one. No, they'll only equal up to it. And we had, for slide, for the, let's go back, actually, for the chosen brand, we had 365 responses. So some did more than one. For spirituality, 306. For God, 335. And then we had 340 for church. So this was the first theme. Lack of awareness and engagement with the marketing process was the first theme from all of the questionnaires. If there's themes that you think, I know you just saw briefly the results, but themes that you think also go along with that you pick out, just feel free to shout them out after I do the four themes. They didn't really know what influenced them. They couldn't put to words or recognize what influences them. And I think it's because they are bombarded with so much things. They did a study on Coke, because Coke is a lot more profitable. It's more what's it called? Better than Pepsi. Sells more than Pepsi by quite a lot. But some people are confident that Pepsi actually tastes better. So they did a study. What they did was they had two cups of soda, one Pepsi, one Coke, without the can. Pepsi won by a landslide, by a landslide. And then they had a Pepsi and Coke in the cans. Coke won by a landslide. So I don't think they know what influences them, really. I think I could tell the difference, but who knows, right? I don't have any here for you guys to try, sorry. But I think in the bombardment of messages for people's time and attention, I think face-to-face would work a bit better than flyers or notice boards, potentially. And I think the family, I was surprised, probably like most of you, that the family was a high-influencing. I can see if this questionnaire was done by mainly 11 and 12-year-olds, but it wasn't. It was done by people who were 13 to 15 predominantly. And family is the most. I read a book once. Are you impressed? And it was called Why Men Hate Going to Church or something like that. And so I think it was a good book saying that it's a bit, you need to do things differently to attract a man. But I think potentially you need to do more things to attract the whole family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A sense of community and belonging were not evident. Analysis of the text used by young people. There was almost 100 words for the word community in the world. And the only thing that is the same about all of them is that it involves people. Well, more than one person. But there isn't... I think even in peer groups who took the questionnaire, they didn't all conglomerate into one or two brands. There was so much plethora of brands there. And I don't think they are... From the questionnaire and from my experience, they don't really adhere to just one or two brands. I think they do one now. And perhaps it's the same for people who go to church. They go to one church for a bit. I think someone called before a church dating. You know, go to a church and meet some needs, and then they go somewhere else to meet other needs. But I think a significant for the church, I mean, even though this is aimed toward young people, how to engage with them, it could probably be for all ages. Just create a sense of belonging, of community. And I think one way of doing that is maybe to develop the coffee time at a church so it's more of a bigger deal, maybe. Because in some churches, I think it's just a rush. We got to get the coffee over within 5 or 10 minutes. And for some people... I know for me, before I even was a Christian, that was a great time, the coffee time, I must admit, because that gives you a chance to talk. And I think to develop a sense of community, you have to, it's long term, you have to be consistently around, just be around. I think for me, with Street Space, doing it now for about 5 years, and some people now, the struggles that they have are different. They have a council house, or they have a baby, which you've heard about today in church. But I think they still need Street Space or need people. And so I think just being around, and I think it's the valuing of community which people want and don't have. And I think if somehow if the church or your organization, whoever, or the neighbor can just be around just for that engagement and to create the roots in a rootless society, I think it'll go a long way. I also think it's easy. I do it myself often to talk to the same two or three people in church because we know them a lot, and it's just easier, isn't it? Just easy. And I think it's just not doing that as well, which is hard, you know. And I find it at church, I go to Forefront, and you put in that church for so long, over a year now, a year and a half, that you don't want to ask someone's name because you've been there too long to ask them. And it's a bit embarrassing to ask them, isn't it? You think, oh, do I really want to know it?
But those, you know, going back to that, they're all intermingled, aren't they? It seems to me that they are.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be around, you've got a sense of community, yeah. Which is developed during the coffee time rather than the worship time.
Yeah. And I think outreach events are great, but then that's like once every quarter, once every Easter, Christmas. So I think it's also people who are, because it takes time, doesn't it? And all our lives are busy, lives are messy, we have things going on all the time. And I think it's being committed to making community happen, you know? The third is emotional responses and intangible reasons for consuming brands for not giving priority. I was thinking about my favorite brand, and it's Guinness. No, that's number two. But number one is American Eagle, which is a U.S. clothing store. And I was thinking about this. Why I go, like, it's a store that I'm a bit too old for, but I go in still, you know? And I wonder if I subconsciously like that store because it has the eagle is the logo, and that's the eagle is the national bird of America. And I think also I've been over here now for 11 years, and maybe that's just sort of home for me. I don't know. But I think if we really, but I don't think people really look into it that in depth or reflect that much, at least young people. I don't, according to the questionnaire, they don't. And I think the Disneyland motto, I think it's off and on, it is, remember the magic. And it's supposed to focus on the parents, remember, when they were kids. So what if I let them go to Disney World? So invite your, so go with your kids. But if you use that same mindset for parents to come to church or come to Christian things, most at the moment don't quite know what the magic was like because they've never been. And I think it's getting to a point where it's going to be the grandparents they have to talk about remembering the magic, per se, and then, rather than the parents. And I think hearing someone's story, storytelling, I think is key. And just to share experiences and share, because that's when perhaps the emotion comes from. And the fourth one is the majority of the responses showed a lack of awareness, lack of interest, and indifference concerning spirituality, God, and the church. I just don't think kids know what to say and don't really care. It's not as if there's negative. Sure, that's always... I don't think it's negative responses, which there's only one. It was just they just don't know and they just don't care. And I think it's not a one-size-fits-all method. It's you talk to someone face-to-face. You share life with them and you just see... And you just see what happens. Because there isn't a story attached for young people about church anymore. That was before you could assume... that they'd go to church a few times a year. And even when the year 8 visits the Christian churches, well, they visit 3 or 4 churches in Chard to see what it's like as part of their RE curriculum. And a couple of them, because I used to help out with the kids just going there, and can see their names when they were christened, confirmed. Something at with this church, they have their names up, and perhaps it was child role or something, and they still remember that. But I think it's less and less that people remember what church is, what it stands for, and they see it at a building. And I don't think the media helps, or The Simpsons, and that doesn't help, and that Flanders helps. So. How do we get young people? Do you have any more things you want to add? Any themes or any themes that you or anything that's shocking about any of this stuff?
Brian, do you think there would be a difference in what people wrote about God if you substituted in the word Jesus instead?
That is a good question, Andy. Don't ask it again. probably. Yeah, I think my experience is that when you say God to someone not a Christian, they still think the Christian God, especially here in Chard and Tiverton. But Jesus might have got different. You might have got more stuff, yeah. Because they might know about Jesus, mightn't they? But the cross, that's a good...
On the other hand, the classic comment which was given to a person taking an assembly or an RE lesson in a school, and we were talking about Jesus, and one of the children put their hand up and said, why did they call their baby by a swear word?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that could be a reaction.
Yeah.
To the
audience. Yeah, that is a good, yeah.
Thank God.
I think all this pertains to adults as well as to knock door knocking. I ain't interested. Is
yeah.
The usual answer.
Yeah. Don't you think you have been brought up as Christian or going to church? You don't know about these things.
Yeah.
Where do you know about them?
Yeah.
Because
I was surprised how many people in the last 2-3 years, I was pretty naive, but didn't know about joining the well, like stories that we grew up on. I just think, I wasn't a Christian, 18, but I knew that story. Daniel and David, I knew a Christmas for Christians and Easter. But I think now you can't assume anything anymore. which is surprising.
Yeah. I think from having been out with the street pastors, what I found is that most of the people we meet are sort of 1920s, and they don't really know what Christians are, and certainly they don't know what the difference there is between any denomination.
Yeah.
Or indeed what denominations there are. They're just not an awareness, a sort of vague idea. There are Christians, that's actually what they think and believe.
And then they will have kids who will know even less.
I remember 50 years ago we were encouraged, our peer group, to read a book called Hidden Persuaders. I can't remember much about it, but the thesis was mainly, was basically to do with what influences us and really about adverts and how they're hidden very often, it's subtle, and we're talking about these young people and even us not knowing what influences us. And to actually be aware that we're being persuaded.
Yeah.
Without really knowing that we're being persuaded.
Like mobile phones.
So, in the last 10 or 15 minutes, I have six steps to go from awareness or brand awareness to devotion. I call it a deep level devotion. The first one is silence. They have to know that you exist. Oh no! I'm not good at.
You can click onto the.
Thanks, Mark. So they have to know you exist, and you can't assume that they know that you exist. And I'm unsure if a sign on a building or is enough. Christ said, "Go," so go. But they have to know you exist.
Actually, that is an important point because I think, like Norris, I go out as a street pastor, and some of the youngsters haven't ever come across anybody else who's a Christian.
Not knowing anyway.
Yeah, not knowing. Yeah.
I think the days of assuming is gone, and they go out. They go out, and they're always out there. They're perhaps the first few weeks when I've been, I don't know if it was, you out the very first week, Wendy, was any of you out? How'd that go the very first time you went out? Was there any, how was that?
Well, mainly confusion. What's a pastor? What's a pastor? And that went on, I guess, for months. Very rarely get asked that now, I think, do we? Most people are aware.
I've got zillions.
Yeah.
Did you tell them that?
Yeah. You've got to step up.
I'm talking to you, madam.
So they know you exist, but what is the relevant to their lives of why you exist? Apple, when they go and they do their stalls and stuff, if they're talking to kids, they show how it's different, how it's shiny. The parents, they show how it can be used for school stuff. To show the relevancy to both. So if you take the example of street pastors, what's the relevancy of street pastors if someone asks you?
It's to help people.
And they must see it, and then word does spread, doesn't it, with people who are out. If you give them, what do you call a thing for a bottle thing? Yeah, or sandals, just to talk.
Flip-flops,
yeah.
First day.
I think we can't underestimate experience, and I think we, so they know you exist, they know the relevancy of why you exist, and then they experience it for themselves. Yeah. It's like that woman at the well who Christ met, who said, now I have faith because I have my own faith, not because of, I know that's not the best way to say it, but yeah, or because of their parents or whatever. And I think that is where the majority of brands or Christian organizations stop, right there. You exist, relevant, and then experience it. And I think if you just stop right there, I think potentially young people would switch off to a different brand. Because if you have like that branding thing, because there are 160 of the brands where only 1 to 5 people said it. So there is no brand devotion. They're going to hop through to get someone else. So the authenticity of the experience. I think time to reflect, time to talk to someone about their time for them to share with someone how it went, perhaps why they came, here's context, why they came, maybe they're, and just if they share with someone, I think the experience then becomes authentic. And I think they do remember it more. And then their potential, I think the best way to advertise is put them out. This is what happened to me, you know. I haven't had one person, have I? Before I say this, I haven't had one person who didn't want to hear my testimony when I was sharing it. No, never said, mate, it's too long, stop. You know, they're listening to it. And then I think if you're willing then to share their experience, you listen to them, I think it's a good thing. I mean, for instance, for someone like McDonald's or Burger King, as to whatever one to me is closer and I'm hungry, that's who I go to. I have no attachment to either one. And so I think sometimes this whole equation thing is out the window. You just do whatever's cheapest, what's right there. Belonging, including sacred words and symbols. If you think about Harley Davidson, maybe, you know, they had their own certain way of, over here, do you know what that is? Harley Davidson? Okay, yeah. Sorry, I don't know. But I think, I think for this, it's belonging to, so as others can also, it's not really a close group. People can come and join. As well, and I think no longer, at least, do the words bigger or quicker hold as much appeal, I think, for brand devotion as sacred words and symbols around an experience or around a brand, perhaps. Like, so for iPad, you have the iPad, you have the eye, whatever. I can't afford Apple, but all that stuff. But I think it's belonging, but not to segregate others to not belong, if that makes sense.
Don't all young ladies,
what do you mean?
Cross on the, around their neck.
Do they? No.
It's a symbol. I wonder what it meant to people who...
I'll look on detached youth work this week, and I'll ask people. I haven't noticed.
Really?
It, but if you say... Okay, thanks for that. And then empowerment that leads to action is the sixth one.
What does that mean, Ryan?
Empowerment. So to empower someone, to give them the confidence, the tools, in order to then to help out. And just for someone to have the confidence. And also, I think it's also word of mouth. So they like it so much, they belong to it. They have the sacred, it's okay to have the sacred words and symbols, but then if you don't do anything with it.
So they take some responsibility.
Yeah.
As part of the group.
Yeah. So if I give you an example of free space in terms of what we're planning to do, we have expanded the skate park in Chard a while ago, before I came on the scene, maybe 06? No, 2010. Right, Mark? It expanded. It cost £120,000 to do. And so I met with some of the young people the other week at Weatherspoons to discuss what they want to do with... Well, if it happens again, I'm going to stop. Just to talk to them up touch base about how they want to help out. They're between 18 and 20-year-old people, and they want to expand the skate park again and go around the basketball football court, which could cost another $120,000. But they were excited about it. So we met with the town clerk last week to discuss our ideas. We even had a little drawing proposal, and she thought it was a very good idea. So then we're going to meet with the whole town council Monday week. Hopefully they'll be good. And it's all of them. And a lot of them don't really know what street space is. They know that we do a skate jam once in September. And I think this will encourage a lot more people to join, because we need a lot of people to make it happen, to fundraise, to talk to the council, talk to neighbors. And so that's our starting point. And so that is, knowing we exist, and the relevant for them is the skate park. The experience is going to be them using the skate park now, but also wanting to do more and expand it. And so that's where we're starting from. And yes, spirituality, Christianity will come in, because the more that we have rapport with them in relationships, the more we talk about what's important to us. But you have to start somewhere, I guess. And it's probably the same for street passes as well. You have to start somewhere. It took months before they thought you weren't weird, perhaps, or thinking what's going on. But now you have that established thing with them. So what I'm going to do now with this, with my results, this is only half the story, I just ran out of time, is I'm going to hopefully share these results, my four themes, with youth leaders, with church leaders, and with those who work with youth charities to see their thoughts about what I've done, just to see if they have any insights, if they think, well, this may say this, however... What I is this from young people, and we'll just go from there. Any questions? I have a sheet about the four themes and the equation if you want it. If you don't, don't worry. Oh, don't be offended. I don't know how this ends. Communion? No.
There's still time for more questions. I think listening to this one thing that concerns me about the study is how many people, how many of those who responded didn't have any answer. You know, it's the vast majority say nothing. And I just wonder about the question about what influences them. This seems to me they don't know what influences them. Because I would think that the most influential thing for teenagers is peer group pressure, is what their friends say and think and do. And I just wonder whether the direct question is too hard for teenagers. I mean, I think it was hard for us. I mean, we didn't quite know how to...
Mm.
So maybe you have... I'm not sure, but maybe you have to think of indirect questions that will get that, that will somehow probe what are the things that influence.
If I had to do it again also, I would have done a couple of focus groups. I would have probably done three or four, one in Territon School, because that's where a lot of them was. One with Christians and one people on the Sweden Street Space and focus groups to see then it's more in depth. Yeah. I mean, you can only do so much and you can kind of sound the answers, but I think a focus group would narrow.
Seems to me one of the key issues there is that what you said and what this proves is that building relationships with people, when we're talking about faith and a church reaching out, I think the days have gone when, you know, you put up a poster saying, you know, got an evangelist coming next week, come hear the gospel. You know, that's how it was done when I was in Britain. We've learned that it's friendship evangelism, you know,
yeah.
It's a jargon. And, you know, I really admire what you're doing out on the streets of Jar. I know I couldn't do it, you can. Street pastors, to drop in here at the forefront, you know, he's contacting people whose lives are in a mess, and friendships have been built up, real relationships have been built up with some of these people, and it's out of those relationships that we can move them along that line.
I think for me also there is a happy indifference, it seems, based on the question there about God and the church. It's not negative criticism. It's just they just don't know and they just don't really care. And so it's how to, which I think it's helpful. At least, you know, it's what.
Was longing is not a closed group. I think for us as Christians, too long we've been saying to people, come along here and we'll preach to you. And then you've got to decide whether or not you're going to belong or not. And we've got to get away from that and start doing things with people rather than expect them to respond in the first place to some kind of message before they can be part of what we're doing in other ways.
Yeah.
And that's got to be, that kind of empowerment has got to somehow, what you call empowerment, has got to somehow come in there. We've got to understand how we reach people with good news.
There's a book called Un-Christian, I think is what it's called, and he interviewed 20 and 30 year olds, and he came up with 6 reasons why they don't go to church, and I don't remember all of them, but it is too judgmental, too political, homophobic. I forgot what the other 3 were. Interesting. Sad, I guess.
The thought that's come to mind is how do we stir the curiosity of the young? Because it's through curiosity that people go to look for things. And how is that to be done? I think the street pastors and what you do stirs a curiosity within people's minds. I think that settles in there. Sometimes you won't see it for years, but then something will occur in their lives that they will think, oh, well, I wonder if there is a God. You know, what's happening here? So I think you're doing wonderful work. But there again, from my perspective of being an oldie or getting there, I'm quite young, so you. How do I stir that curiosity when I meet young people? Because I'm not on their level of thought processing.
So there's part of Street Space, and there's 60-something projects for Street Space in the UK. And once a year we do a gathering call where we get together. So I went to the first one a few years ago. And I thought I'd be one of the oldest. I was one of the youngest, by far. It's not a bad thing. And so I just don't, and I was surprised, but I don't know why I should be. So I don't think young people care the age. I don't think they care. I think if you're out there consistently, and I think that is key, to be out there consistently, whether it's, even though it's not always me or Mark, it's someone from Sheep that's out there most Tuesdays, rain or shine. If they're not out there, we still are. I think it's just being consistent. And I don't think you need to go out there with an agenda. Let's just talk to them and see what happens, you know?
if you're talking about, sorry, if you're talking about devotion and you know, you're kind of talking about unity, aren't you? Uniting people under a brand or a symbol or whatever. I was reading an article in New Scientist magazine a couple of weeks ago about basically a way we can imitate each other, because you know, if you're talking to someone, if you imitate what they're doing, you bond with them, they listen a bit better, and you can relate to them a bit better. You know, if they're scratching their chin, you scratch your chin, and stuff like that. But of course, with Christianity, you don't necessarily have to have those external features that you unite around. There's a sense that you've instead got the Holy Spirit to give you that unity instead. And then we can begin to overlook the outside features of the group or other behaviours. Certain behaviours will unite us, but certain ones don't matter so much.
And they are looking for authenticity, aren't they? A couple of weeks ago when I was out, there was a very interesting conversation I had with someone who really quite wanted to rubbish Christianity because we believe we all came from aliens. We had some very, very strange beliefs. But what he couldn't quite get past was the fact that, come what may, we were out every Saturday night. And he was saying, you know, do you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you really believe this stuff? And I was saying, yes, I do. So even though he wanted to rubbish it, he sort of couldn't really rubbish it because we were living it by being out every week. And that, I think, is what people are looking for. They're looking for reality, aren't they?
Yeah.
They want to see the real thing, and that makes a difference.
And I think for me also, I've had to redefine success, because success just isn't making sure that someone comes to faith. It's just being out there, and if you have a conversation, well, that's success for that day, and it's the best for that day. And I think is we're not God, and kettle judge, well, you know. So I think all we can do is, I think for me, help me to define success as doing the best I can for that day and talking whoever was in my path. But it doesn't have to be a salvation. If it is, amen, right? I'm not saying it's not right. I think also, perhaps for a church context, for the outreach, to have an invite to the next one when you do one or something. Perhaps it's worth, at some point, the church is getting together leaders and just discussing anyone. It's just, well, how can we do more stuff together more often? Because it does take time, but if you do it together, you could do more. And one thing that came out in a lot of those answers was quality. I think they want quality stuff, quality experiences, quality conversations. Okay, thanks for listening.